and welcome to With Relish on the Head Stuff Podcast Network. We're a fortnightly food podcast focusing on all things that are great in the Irish food industry.
You are now listening to an interview recorded as part of a wider episode. If you would like to hear more from us, head to headstuff.org or else subscribe to the show on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn or all the usuals.
HPN, the Head Stuff Podcast Network. See headstuff.org for more details.
The Irish food industry has many notable family names, but few as easily recognised as a Macari. Speaking to us about his experience on running a family business and the rich traditions of the Irish chipper, Dario Macari of Romeo's Diner, welcome to With Relish.
Hello, how you doing?
Thanks for coming in.
No problem.
Come here, Dario, I wanted to start it out with like a big one and just ask you, how is it that Italian families are synonymous with chippers in Ireland?
I suppose the we have our association here together, and the story goes back to, I think, the 1880s. It goes that Giuseppe Cervi got off a boat and found out that people in Ireland enjoyed chips. So it all stemmed from there. Our community is from an area in Italy called Val di Camino, and basically it's kind of a couple of villages up mountains and stuff. So I think the first few came over, my grandparents came over, I think around the 60s, and would have been in Bolton Street in Dublin. And naturally they kind of grew from there, and cousins and friends and everybody came over, and it was just it was a good business at the time. So, you know, went from there.
And so how is it, do you think, that I suppose Italian families coming over to Ireland, they cooked a food that was so different from where they were from?
Definitely, yeah.
They found that spot in the Irish market where they were like, okay, we're not going to be selling pasta to the Irish, we're not going to be selling pizza to the Irish, we're going to be selling fish and chips to the Irish. Yeah. And I just wondered, where do you think that came from? Where do you think they saw that?
Where did they say that? I suppose the Irish love for spuds probably goes back even before that time. So they took it from there.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So it was kind of a smart business sense.
I'd say so,
saw a gap in the market or something that was there and something they could build on.
The natural way things would have worked, I suppose, in the original days was a family member would have come over, he would have opened a business or worked for a cousin. So it was all kind of natural progression. Like if you were doing well, you'd find your cousin or a friend from the local village would come over, and then they'd kind of start working with yourself and then work up through there and then try and get their own place. So I suppose it all grew quite naturally.
Not unlike the way the Irish went to New York, I suppose.
Yeah.
Yeah. In when I was doing my research, I found that that was called chain migration.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Chain migration. So I'm very well understand chain migration.
Yeah. Were there already fish and chip shops in Dublin back in the 1880s? I don't know this. Does anybody know?
Well, I can't verify it for certain, but I don't think so. I do think they were kind of the first into the industry the way it is that we'd be familiar with it.
Yeah.
So, no, not that I don't think so.
Yeah, okay. That's fascinating.
And I wonder if you could tell us about the story of One and One.
Okay, One and One. Well, the One and One basically, I think, came from the language barrier. When the Italians would have come over originally in Ireland, it's not like nowadays, I suppose, education, everything has moved on. A lot of guys would be coming over from Italy and they'd speak as good English as ourselves. But I suppose they always had this original language barrier. They wouldn't have picked up much English, and it would have been just very basic from working. Back in the days, you know, it would have been a very heavy kind of, it was all about work, really, looking after the business. It was family, everybody was involved. So the exposure they would have had to the public would have been just true work. So some people coming in, they say, you know, a one-on-one, I suppose, just an easy to pick up, an easy expression, rather than trying to say, you know, a fish and chips or something. And just kind of caught on from there.
And I wanted to ask you a little bit about growing up in an Irish-Italian family.
Okay.
And your food memories as a child, are those very Irish food memories, or are they Italian, or is it somewhere in between?
Yeah. I'm probably a little bit of a unique family. My father is actually married to an Irish woman from Dublin, so I've got the best of both worlds. So
one I would,
yeah. So I've grown up with an exposure to both cuisines, mind you. Over the years, my mother always would have leaned, I suppose, towards the Italian, towards your pastas and your lasagnas and everything like that. And even, I suppose, when I was in school, we would have made a point just to keep to tradition and keep the language up. I would have actually moved to Italy in probably fourth year for a couple of months and went to school over there. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's just the guys just eat pasta morning, noon and night. So it's their state. It's their spuds.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Dario, do you eat fish and chips?
Of course.
How often?
I love fish and chips.
Yeah. Do you eat them every day? Do you sample the produce every day that you're in?
Well, I suppose realistically, I try and keep everything nice and balanced. But yeah, it's a food business and it's all about taste. Everything we do a huge amount of tasting, testing. We'd often come across scenarios where something might look great and, you know, you taste and you say, no, that's not the one, you know. So it's ultimately, if the taste isn't right, nothing else is going to work. So yeah, no, I do have, I'm heavily involved in the tasting.
That's nice. Was it kind of a given that you would move into this family business, and was that where your heart was?
No, it wasn't necessarily a given, and there has been quite a change in the community. A lot of guys don't necessarily just follow the path, whereas, I don't know, in previous years or generations, naturally you'd go to school, you'd finish school, you'd work in the family business. A lot of people now, cousins and friends and everything, they don't necessarily come into the business. They'll get jobs, they'll go on to university, they get all sorts of different work. For myself, I would have went to college, and I suppose it was probably when I was about, I would have always been involved working from a young age, kind of summer jobs, always hanging around my dad, whatever. But the life decision probably was about 23, 24, came to the end of college. That would have been in about 07, 08, which was great timing to come out of college. And I suppose it was great to have the family business there, and got involved, and my sister as well, who's 2 years younger than me, got involved also. So we've made a good little team, and you know, there's my father, myself, brother, sister, and we all get on. So
great.
That's how it's happened.
And do you have a vision for the business in the future? I mean, do you see it changing, or is it something that you want to hold as a really traditional, the really traditional business that it's been so far? Like, where do you see it going, or do you see it just kind of progressing but staying the same in a good sense?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. There's a very long answer to that, but we'll try to keep it short.
Yeah. I want to hear it.
It's not live, your friend.
No, where's the business going? Okay, the business has completely changed. Like, we're celebrating National Fish and Chip Day on Wednesday, which is all about fish and chips. The local takeaway chip shop has transformed now, where you're getting kind of a wide range on your menu. You're getting your grilled foods, your baguettes, your kebabs, your southern fried chicken, a bit of everything. And in a way, it's kind of our unique selling point, in that if you're sitting down, like we view ourselves as, you know, our main customer is kind of the family sitting down in the evening having a meal together at home. And with our kind of menu, you'd say there's something there for everybody. So it isn't only fish and chips. And with all the new businesses coming into the food market around Dublin, you've now got your, I suppose, over the last 10, 15 years, like, pizza's not even around that long in Dublin. Mm. It wasn't a big thing. You know, pizza's enormous. You've got Thai food, Indian food, everything from all around the world. So we do kind of need to keep up with that and, you know, develop new products. But at the same time, the tricky part is we do want to hold on to the heritage as well, traditional fish and chips. And that is extremely important to us. Anything we do, you know, we'd always have in the back of our mind, well, we'd have to remember we've got customers who are coming into our stores for the past 30, 40 years. Yeah. And, you know, you have to remember these guys are used to things a certain way also. So you're kind of catering for the new, the old, everybody and in between. So it's a good range of customers. So I suppose to answer that question, what's the future? The future is identifying all the different markets and trying to have something for everybody there while staying competitive as well. Because I suppose what's helped our business and what it's become known for is get a good amount, a good size, good portions, good quality food, and all for good value.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a great place to feed the family.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Do you make all the chips? Tell me that process around the chips, because I'm a chip fan. I need to know about
this.
Big chip fan. It's important.
Chips, yes. Chipper chips. So basically, what's involved? Yeah, the first question I usually get asked is, do they actually come as a potato?
Yeah, yes, exactly.
They do. Cool. So basically, how it works, each store orders their spuds. We do a huge amount of testing. We work with lots of different suppliers. We work with farmers. We actually work closely with guys in North County Dublin. They're the Flynn farmers, and they grow spuds for us.
What it's variety of spud is it?
Mm. We use a Marquise, Agri, stuff like that. Yeah. So it is constantly, it's evolving.
Yeah.
You know, like, in fairness, even the farming industry has changed so much. There's all technology to come up with new ways, different times to grow, all this type of thing. So the simple process is your spuds arrive in the shop in their, you know, 25 kilo bags. They come in, and every morning of your guy who comes in, and he'll peel them all. And in our locations, we've actually, you've got two forms. You've got your electric chipper, a hand chipper. And we opt for the original option of actually every spud is hand chipped. And the reason for, yeah, so believe it or not, when you're hungry.
When you're hearing about the chipper.
Yeah.
Like the actual thing that makes the chips.
When you're eating your bag of chips, yeah, someone has physically hand chipped that chip, so you can really appreciate it.
You're gesturing like a lever. Is this like a big stainless steel, like, thing attached to a side of a counter. Is that what
exactly?
It is?
I don't know how I'd describe it. It'd be fitted to something.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's, I suppose, a lever type movement. So you've got a guy literally every single sport, and
it's just getting passed through and getting shipped.
Getting shipped, exactly. Yeah.
Gorgeous. And then what?
Okay, and then what? And then I suppose that's it. They're ready to go.
Class.
Absolutely nothing else. So, like, as I say to people, like, this, your bag of chips and the chip shops, it's unique in that a lot of places are using frozen chips. Mm-hmm. So that's fine, I suppose, consistency and everything. But with us, your sport is literally getting picked in a field, put in a bag, brought into our store, hand-peeled, hand-chipped. No, sorry, not hand-peeled. We have a peeler machine. That will take too long.
We know.
Yeah. So, you know, brought into the store, they're chipped and that's it. They're ready to go. Yeah. And they're done just throughout the day. You know, you'd kind of, every few hours you'd be out chipping your chips, keeping them fresh. And that's why when you go into the store, you see them, you order your chips and they're cooked. Like, there's nothing, no secret to it. No,
it's a beautiful thing though.
Yeah. Extremely labour intensive, but completely natural.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the simplicity of that is the really attractive thing about it. Absolutely. That it's not often a scary walk in freezer somewhere. I say scary, like they're probably, like they're grand.
Well, freezer chips, are just, they have a different texture. There's just nothing like a proper fresh hand-cut chip. I'm into that.
The only, I suppose, it has plenty of positives, but it is tricky because, like, sometimes you find throughout the year we're constantly getting batches of potatoes in every week, several batches come in, and you're just constantly testing, and you know, you're working with your suppliers, you're working with the farmers, and then sometimes you'd have to often be reminded, you know, you're saying, well, this one's not perfect, why not, what's wrong, why are these ones cooking, and they go, like, you know, we're growing something in a field here.
It's nature.
You know, so that's
exactly the same every time. Yeah, I know that feeling as well. Absolutely, yeah. Sometimes we're kind of looking at the produce that comes in. It's just like, okay, so the crop isn't as healthy as you would like it to be, you know? And sometimes it's perfect.
The one that I noticed recently that we were kind of struggling with, I say struggling, but it was just like an unreliable batch was cauliflower recently, where it'd be enormous. You'd chop into them, and then
it was like
leaf.
A pea. Yeah.
It was like a pea inside. Nothing in it. What's going on with this thing? Yeah. But then when you think, okay, well, this is like lovely and organic, and I have to accept that this is the way it is, so let's just eat the leaves.
Yeah,
it's, and in fairness, if you have your potatoes, it's everything. Like, even with our veg supplier, you're just talking about cauliflower there. Like, we have we use guys up in Lavender, and there's, you know, you have your lettuce and your mushrooms and everything. And again, mushrooms will arrive 1 week slightly bigger, slightly smaller. So it comes down to our guys in the stores, or we have a distribution centre there which we've introduced to help quality control, which has been a great success, and it's been a big help in growing the business. But, you know, it does come down to the guys in the store having the skill to recognise, okay, no, this isn't right, or this is wrong, or, you know, to work around, like, you're working with natural produce.
To be intuitive with food.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. It's not just a timer machine where you're cutting open a packet, pouring it in, and take it out 3 minutes or 4 minutes later. It's a bit more to it.
Okay, great. And I wanted to ask you a bit about your extended family in Val Camino. Mm-hmm. And what do they think of the chipper phenomenon?
What do they think? Well, most of them are here. most of them are here. We come from basically these, I suppose, mountainous villages. Mundatigo is the name of where my family would have their home. And what do they think? Most guys are here. The village has kind of declined in population. There's not too many, but there's still a few holding up the fort in the in the winter time. But well, it's broad. In fairness, it's given great opportunity, and it's over the years everyone's had as appreciative of it. And there's a very, very strong link between our area in Italy and Ireland. Like, as far as I'm pretty sure, I think Casalatico, which is becoming the main town in the mountain, is twinned with, I think it's Nace.
Okay.
I'll check that one. So, there's a huge link. They have their, every August, they have this thing called Irish Fest. And what they do is they basically set up the town. They actually bring, there are no chippers in Italy. Well, there are, like, you know, there's no, like, Ireland, you'd find a chip shop or a whatever everywhere, but there's none there. So it's not really, it's pizza shops.
Yeah.
And what they'll do is they'll actually bring in a frying range into the village, and they have a big festival, and there's drinks and there's fish and chips for that day. And they come from all the surrounding towns, and it's become this big thing. So, and there'll be your contingents, like, you know, suppliers who supply the industry, like, would always send people over, and it's become a kind of big thing. So there's a huge link there. Like,
yeah, that sounds deadly.
It sounds so good.
Really strange.
It's just a completely unique thing. Dario, just to, so we can situate this for the listeners, where in Italy are we talking about geographically?
Okay, geographically, I suppose if you're looking at a map, you'd be looking for a town. It's probably Cassino, where Monte Cassino is, World War II, and the big monastery on the hills. That would be the biggest local town, and in between Rome and Naples, slightly inland.
Okay,
so like on the shin of the boot.
Yeah, probably on the shin, a bit higher.
bit higher than the shins. So, gotcha.
Dario, I have one more question for you. Do you do battered sausages? And why are they so delicious? I'm serious.
We do battered sausages, and if you look across the stores, it's consistently in the top three selling items. Yeah. Without
They're
fail.
Amazing. Why are they so nice?
I don't know. Fat I don't want to divulge too many secrets.
Oh.
But
ah,
no, they're just popular. Everyone seems to like a battered sausage, so I suppose it's a sausage and batter. There's not much to it.
I know. What's not to
like?
But then
there's
a few
chips as well. That's
Or the chips. A scoop of batter.
Just do a few chips.
Oh yeah, you have to have a few chips. And then there's I suppose not much to it. We work with guys in Galway. We work with Loch Nan's there, and they make a recipe which they are instructed to keep secret.
Mm. Okay.
You know, so.
Yeah, but it's good, nice local Irish pig meat.
Right? Yeah.
So I should go and have one. Muckfiole.
Dario McCarry, thank you so much for coming into us on With Relish. It was fantastic to hear about Italian Irish dippers.
Yeah, and all it's done is made me incredibly hungry and excited to go and eat a batter sausage.
Yeah. Which takes not much encouragement for either.
Shush now.
No problem. Great to come in. Thank you.